live in Times Square. This is Good Morning America.
Good morning, America. Dramatic escalation in the showdown with Russia as we start a new week.
The Biden administration orders some Americans to evacuate Ukraine with Russian forces massed on the border.
President Biden is also considering sending U.S. troops to the region. We're covering all the angles of this developing story from Ukraine and Washington. We begin with our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, who is just back from the front lines. Good morning, Ian.
Yeah, good morning, George. There are reports Russia is planning significant military action against Ukraine. Those are the words from this latest advisory from the State Department. Now NATO putting extra forces on standby and sending additional ships and fighter jets to Eastern Europe as the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine tells some staff and relatives to leave.
U.S. officials ordering the evacuation of family members of U.S. embassy staff in Ukraine. Some non-essential personnel also allowed to leave. The State Department writing, U.S. citizens in Ukraine should consider departing now using commercial or other privately available transportation options. Now the UK following suit, also ordering some embassy staff to leave. This morning, the Ukrainian government criticising the U.S. decision as premature and excessively cautious. The order comes as tensions mount in the region, with some fearing a Russian invasion could come at any time, despite consistent denials by the Kremlin. Now the New York Times reporting that President Biden is weighing sending thousands of US troops, warships and aircraft to Eastern Europe in response to what it sees as Russian aggression. The British government claiming the Kremlin's plotting to put a pro-Russian politician in place as the leader of the country. The US backing the information, calling it deeply concerning. But the Russians say it's disinformation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirming US support for the Ukrainian government, saying the US will not tolerate any incursion into Ukrainian territory.
If a single additional Russian force goes into Ukraine in an aggressive way, as I said, that would trigger a severe, and a united response from us and from Europe.
But some U.S. lawmakers saying words aren't enough, insisting the U.S. should enact preemptive sanctions on Russia, but Blinken pushing back on the idea. Just days ago, we were on the front lines where government troops have been fighting Russian-backed rebels for 8 years.
We just heard a gunshot.
But these troops insist they're prepared in the event of an invasion.
Do you think there is a bigger chance that Russia will try to invade?
Basically, yeah. We think that there is a big chance of this.
Well, there are a lot of developments this morning. Now we're hearing the head of Russia's Parliamentary Defense Committee is saying Russia will respond to any escalating threats from what it sees as increased U.S. troop deployments, although it isn't saying exactly what that could be. I think although for now diplomacy is still ongoing and alive, these latest actions and comments certainly send a signal that there may be little optimism that they're going to succeed. Cecilia?
Ian, as some very important development. Thank you. And as you were just saying, President Biden now considering sending thousands of U.S. troops and supplies to Eastern Europe in response to the Russian aggression. So let's bring in Mary Bruce there at the White House. Mary, good morning. What more are you learning from your sources?
Cecilia, good morning. Well, we know that sending more U.S. troops to the region is an option that the president is developing. The White House, the Times reporting that the White House is considering sending up to 5,000 troops to Eastern European countries, along with warships and aircraft. But I'm told that no decision has been made yet. The president this weekend, of course, sat down and met with his National Security Council to discuss these potential options. The president is promising, of course, if Russia does invade, that the response will be swift, severe, and united. Also on the table, crippling economic sanctions, and we've learned possibly restricting Russian access to microchips. It's a move that could deal a major blow to Russian industries, and Lindsay, even restrict and deprive Russian citizens of access to tablets and smartphones.
Mary, thank you. Overseas now to that alarming prison break, the terror group ISIS attacking a facility in Syria, trying to free thousands of fighters and supporters, apparently using children as human shields. Our foreign correspondent James Long in tracking the latest for us. Good morning to you, James.
Yeah, good morning, Lindsay. Hundreds of children are still trapped inside that ISIS jail this morning, where they're essentially being used as human shields by ISIS fighters who've taken over the prison. This is the most serious attempted jailbreak since the fall of the so-called caliphate in 2019.
This morning, scores are dead after a mass prison break at a jail holding suspected ISIS fighters in Syria. It all began Thursday when ISIS militants launched an attack on the Gueran prison in Hasaka, northeast Syria, which is thought to hold at least 3,000 former ISIS fighters and their supporters. Rioters inside the facility clashing with security personnel, allowing hundreds of prisoners to rise up, seize weapons from their jailers and flee. US-backed Kurdish forces have been locked in battle with the militants for days, but some are now still in control of parts of the prison. The US has launched airstrikes to support their Kurdish allies, but there are concerns about hundreds of minors kept in the children's wing of this detention center, former so-called caliphate cubs, the ISIS fighters essentially using them as human shields to defend against attacks. UNICEF saying nearly 850 children are at risk, some of them as young as 12.
There are more than 12,000 men and boys accused of ISIS affiliation in detention centers like this across the region. That is in addition to thousands of families, men, women and children, scavenging an existence in camps across the region too. This has been fermenting extremism and radicalization for years. The Kurds are desperate for help from their U.S. allies. George.
Such a dangerous situation. Okay, James, thanks very much. Back home, there are rising cases of gun violence nationwide. Overnight, a police officer was shot in an ambush attack in Washington, D.C. At least two other officers were killed over the weekend. Several states now stepping up efforts to go after illegal guns. Our Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has all the latest. Good morning, Pierre.
George, good morning. It was another deadly weekend as the epidemic of gun violence continues, with police increasingly the targets. Overnight, an armed suspect opening fire, leading to a dangerous standoff in Washington, D.C., sending at least one officer to the hospital. After a brief barricade, the suspect remains at large.
Before they could contact him, he started firing shots at these officers.
This attack coming on the heels of a shooting during a traffic stop in Houston that left 47-year-old Corporal Charles Galloway dead, and another police shooting in New York that killed 22-year-old rookie Jason Rivera. His partner, 27-year-old Wilbert Moore, critically wounded when police say they were ambushed by a suspect during a domestic violence call.
Yo, let me get a bus here, ASAP.
A third officer who was not injured shot the suspect. Rivera, now at least one of 18 police officers who've died in the line of duty since January 1st. Investigators say the gun used to shoot Rivera and the other officers was a Glock with a high-capacity magazine that could hold up to 40 rounds.
That particular gun, there's no other reason why he has one than to commit a crime.
Nationwide, a sharp rise in gun violence in the last 2 years. Already this year, excluding suicides, more than 1,100 people in the U.S. have died from gun violence. New York City officials joining forces to stem the flow of illegal firearms between states and demanding the federal government take action.
We don't coordinate to go after those gun dealers that are supplying the large cities in America, such as New York. We are losing the battle, and the federal government must step in and play a role.
These are deadly times for police. Last year, police saw a record number of deaths due to COVID-19 and gun violence. Cecilia.
You're thinking of those officers' families. Okay, Pierre, thank you. We're going to turn now to COVID and some promising news. Dr. Fauci saying the fight against Omicron is headed in the right direction, but this is hospitals in many parts of the country are still overwhelmed. Kaylee Hartung joins us from one of those overwhelmed hospitals there in Los Angeles. Good morning, Kaylee.
Good morning, Cecilia. Emergency rooms like this one have been flooded through this winter surge. People coming in aren't as sick as previous surges, but the sheer number of people coming in for shorter stays is putting more and more pressure on these hospital staffs to try to keep up with the revolving door.
This morning, a glimmer of hope. More signs that Omicron may be retreating in some parts of the country.
Things are looking good. We don't want to get overconfident, but they all look like they're going in the right direction right now.
Nationwide, cases dropping 10% in the last week, but parts of the Midwest and the West are still in the thick of it. And Dr. Fauci warns that areas trailing to get shots may take more time to turn the corner.
There may be a bit more pain and suffering with hospitalizations in those areas of the country that have not been fully vaccinated or have not gotten boosters.
Frontline workers saying they don't have critical care space for heart attack and stroke patients.
We don't have beds available for those types of incidents. All the beds are being filled by COVID patients. Patients are waiting in the emergency room for days.
This while supply chain issues hold up tens of millions of rapid tests. Just outside Los Angeles, millions of eye health tests are stuck at this warehouse, shipments taking over twice as long to send out. schools among the places most impacted by these delays.
I know that sometimes it's out of our control, but this is something that I would say it's really critical and a priority for us to continue to offer in-person learning for each and every one of our students.
And the CDC is out with several new studies showing just how effective booster shots are against Omicron and Delta, protecting you from severe illness. So one study found an additional shot slashes your risk of visiting the ER or an urgent care by 94% during Delta, 82% during Omicron. And another study shows that the unvaccinated are nearly 14 times more likely to be infected and 53 times more likely to die compared to those who are vaccinated and boosted. Lindsay.
Health officials hoping that those numbers will encourage people to get vaccinated. Kaylee, thank you. Now to COVID and the Olympics. With less than 2 weeks to go, Beijing is ramping up testing as dozens of cases have been recorded among Olympics personnel. Maggie Rulli is in London with more on that. Maggie, sounds like there's already some trouble in the bubble.
Lindsay, exactly. It's an ambitious Olympic bubble, but it is already being put to the test. Organizers say they have found 72 cases in the first wave of about 2,500 people arriving in the capital just over the past 2 weeks. That's a little more than half who tested positive on arrival and the rest inside the bubble. And Lindsay, remember, when someone tests positive, they're immediately brought to a quarantine facility, either a hotel or a hospital. These cases are on top of the 49 confirmed cases in Beijing and the more than 2,700 active cases across the country. Now, the chair of the Olympic medical expert panel said these numbers inside the bubble are about what they expected. But now, Lindsay, there are some big questions about the sensitivity of these COVID tests China is using. Just in the last 24 hours, they've loosened the threshold of what makes a positive test, but it is still much tougher than what we're used to here in Europe and in America. Now, this means, guys, it is possible that athletes who have COVID in the last few months and are testing negative states side, they may still test positive when they get to China. This could be a huge problem, George.
Boy, it sure could. Okay, thanks very much. We're going to turn now to the NFL playoffs, switching gears. What a weekend. All four games nail biters decided on the last play. Will Reef has all the highlights. Hey, Will.
Hey, George, good morning. The divisional round of the NFL playoffs was brought to you by the number four. That's four games, four wins on the final play of the game, four touchdowns in the fourth quarter plus overtime of Chiefs-Bills, which might have been the most exciting football game of all time, and now just four teams left on the road to the Super Bowl.
In an instant all-time classic Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mahomes, all kinds of time. Again, he's going to take off and succeed. Did he get the pylon?
Facing off against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Allen fires it into wide open! Remarkable! Touchdown!
All night, the two superstar quarterbacks trading blows and points. 25 of them combined in the final 2 minutes. The Chiefs kicking a game-tying field goal as time expired before winning in overtime.
Ball game! Chiefs to the championship game!
If you're not going to go down fighting, then you don't deserve to be here. And we knew that if we could just give ourselves a chance to get in Butker's field goal range, he was going to knock it in, and he did.
It was a weekend full of drama, with almost comebacks and last-second victories on walk-off field goals. The Cincinnati Bengals defeating the top-seeded Tennessee Titans, and the San Francisco 49ers knocking off Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
49ers win it!
Living legend Tom Brady faced off against a hot Los Angeles Rams team who wanted to make their mark against the Bucks. Brady unhappy with that hit and receiving his first ever unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But the bloodied Brady would not be bowed and led his Tampa Bay Buccaneers all the way back from a 27-3 deficit. It looked like the seven-time Super Bowl champ was set to write another chapter of his myth, only to see Matthew Stafford and the Rams kick the winning field goal as the clock hit zero.
Boots it through.
With rumors swirling about the 44-year-old's playing future, Brady was circumspect.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at. I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
And one more number four for you. The Chiefs will host their fourth straight AFC Championship game as they seek to make their third straight Super Bowl. They host the Bengals on Sunday afternoon, followed by Rams 49ers in LA on Sunday night.
Cannot wait.
My husband doesn't have many vocal cords left after that Niners game this weekend.
It was an incredible weekend. A lot more coming up here on GMA, including the woman tied for the second longest winning streak in Jeopardy history. Amy Schneider is going to just live in an exclusive interview right now. Let's go to Ginger.
And George, Mother Nature is paying on some snow debt in Chicago. They've had now 10.3 inches for the season, but usually it's close to a foot and a half. So if you want more snow, you got it. This morning, one of the Clippers coming through, but you'll see here from there to Indiana with up to 7 inches where we got lake enhanced snow. You're going to get more. So we've got more where this all came from. It's going to make its way not only through the Great Lakes, but into Pennsylvania, New York, right into New England. Looks like kind of a 2 to 4 inch event for many, but some places, again, around the lakes could get 6, 7, 8. And then we all get cold again because I'm standing out here without a hat for probably the last morning of the week. By the midweek, we're talking about single digits and sub-zeros many places on the map.
Here goes nothing.
Welcome back to GMA. Social media shaken and stirred. And by social media, I also mean us, with news that Idris Elba is part of the conversation right there to become the new James Bond. We are going to be talking about that coming up.
Intoxicating, really, isn't it?
A lot of headlines coming up as well, including the dramatic escalation in the showdown with Russia. President Biden is considering sending thousands of U.S. troops to the region as Russian troops mass on the Ukraine border. The State Department has also ordered diplomats' families to leave the country now, fearing a possible invasion. Also right now, the committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol have said they've had conversations with former Attorney General William Barr. He resigned in the aftermath of the election, could not carry out President Trump's orders. Also, opening arguments expected to get underway later this morning. The three now former Minneapolis police officers all face federal charges for violating George Floyd's civil rights. All three accused of depriving Floyd of his right to be free from a police officer's deliberate indifference to his serious medical needs. If convicted on federal charges, the three former cops standing trial here could face a wide range of sentencing possibilities, including life in prison or the death penalty.
And tax season is officially underway. Taxpayers can file those returns starting today. And without an extension for the pandemic this year, tax day is back to April. Rebecca Jarvis is breaking down what's new on your returns and how to maximize the money that you might get back. That's coming up for you in our second hour. And we've got a lot more ahead, including Jeopardy champion Amy Schneider tied for second on the all-time consecutive win list. She joins us live in a GMA exclusive. That's also coming up.
Looking forward to that, but we are right now going to turn to that dating app mystery. A young woman found dead after a date with a man that she met online. Lauren Smith Fields' family say police failed to properly investigate and hundreds marched to demand answers. Janae Norman has more on this story. Good morning, Janae.
Cecilia, good morning to you. Lauren's family is alleging that police haven't conducted much of an investigation at all. And as they push for answers, they want to know why investigators aren't looking at the man last known to see Lauren alive as a person of interest in her death.
A family's fight for justice this morning.
Justice for Lauren!
Holding a rally on what would have been Lauren Smith Fields' 24th birthday, calling for answers about how she died last month. Her family alleging police haven't properly investigated Lauren's death and may be involved in a cover-up.
Lauren Smith Fields wasn't given the treatment that she should have been given.
Bridgeport, Connecticut police say they responded to Smith Fields' home just after 6:30 a.m. Sunday, December 12th, finding Lauren lying on her back on the floor of her apartment, and she did not appear to be breathing. In the police report, officers say the older white man who called 911 said he met the younger black woman on a dating app 3 days prior, and this had been their first time meeting. According to the report, he told police they were taking tequila shots before Lauren got sick in the bathroom. He says she went outside briefly and when she came back in, went to the bathroom for 10 to 15 minutes. The man says they continued drinking and soon both fell asleep. He told police at 3 a.m. he got up and heard her snoring, but when he woke up later that morning, he says she had blood on her nose and wasn't breathing.
I just could not believe that my baby sister was gone.
She had a life. She had a business. She was in college. And she had family and friends that love her.
Lauren's family now planning to sue the city of Bridgeport and the police department, claiming police refused to view the last person to see Smith Fields before she died as a person of interest and failed to implement the proper crime scene investigation team to collect physical evidence, including a pill used as a sedative and other items the family says they found. Lauren's family alleging the detective on the case might have a connection to the man who called police and may have unofficially arrived at the apartment to assist in a cover-up prior to officially dialing 911. In a statement released earlier this month, the city of Bridgeport saying the Bridgeport Police Department takes these concerns very seriously. The command staff of the Detective Bureau is reviewing the handling of this case to ensure that best practices were and are being followed.
Now, we aren't naming the man because he hasn't been charged with a crime. According to police, they say the investigation is active and ongoing, but at this point, they say there are no suspects, no persons of interest, and no evidence of foul play. And investigators tell us they're awaiting reports from the medical examiner on cause and manner of death, as well as toxicology report findings. George.
Janae Norman, thanks. We switch gears now for our exclusive interview with Jeopardy star Amy Schneider. She has sailed past James Holzhauer's consecutive game win streak, and on Friday tied Madam Modio for the second spot with 38 wins. Today she goes for 39. Only all-time champ Ken Jennings has won more. Good morning, Amy. How are you this morning?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well.
Great. You are in the zone. What's the secret?
I'm not really sure about a lot of it. I never expected to do this well, but I think the main secret is being curious and spending my life learning a lot of stuff.
You say you never expected this, but when you were young, you were voted most likely to be on Jeopardy. Tell us about that.
I was good in school. I got good grades. I won the spelling bee. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely, I did expect to be on Jeopardy and to do all right. Just never expected to do quite this well.
So, if you get past the record today, you're only Ken Jennings is ahead of you. Of course, he's hosted some of your shows. Has he given you any advice? Mm-hmm.
He's limited in what he can tell me, just because he's the host, he has to stay neutral and whatever. I think the advice he gives all of us before every game is just to relax and have fun and, enjoy the moment. And that's definitely something I've been trying to do.
Trying?
Oh, I've been enjoying it. Let me be clear. Yes.
But it's so intense. Tell us about your buzzer technique.
Yeah, so, I had researched from other past Jeopardy contestants and the advice that they gave, and I'd practiced at home with like a ballpoint pen. But you don't really know until you get there. And so the sort of strategy I had in mind, the way I was planning to time it, like that first game, it just wasn't quite working as well as it needed to. And for whatever reason, I just decided to kind of like throw that out and stop thinking about it and just purely try to go on instinct and feel. And from then on, I've just been really good at the buzzer. And I didn't know if that would be the case, and I'm pretty excited that it has been.
Were you prepared for being so famous?
No, not really. I mean, there's, a bit of a gap between the taping and the airing, so I did have some time to, like, get used to the idea, but I didn't really know what it would be or how famous is Jeopardy famous. And so it's been a lot, but it's mostly been just really fun.
What's been the best part of the experience?
I think that the best part for me has been being on TV, as my true self, expressing myself and representing the entire community of trans people, and just kind of showing a different a thing than maybe some people have seen of just being a just smart, confident woman and just doing something super normal like being on Jeopardy.
Well, and you're doing it so well. And regardless of today's outcome, you're going to be playing in the next Tournament of Champions. I bet you're looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm also a little bit intimidated by it. When I first started, I wasn't sure if I might be going up against Matt Amodio, and I was really hoping I wouldn't. And now it turns out I'm going to have to anyway. So it's going to be really challenging. A lot of strong players there, but it should be a lot of fun.
Well, you've made your mark. Do you know what's next for you?
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know, considering like, do I want to write a book? Like, what other opportunities might be out there? And I'm really exploring that.
Everything has changed for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has.
Amy Schneider, thanks very much. Watch Jeopardy today to see if Amy becomes number two all alone on the all-time consecutive wins list. That's, of course, in your local listings. Cecilia?
That was a lot of fun, George. Coming up, everybody, what's next? What the producer of James Bond said about Idris Elba? It's got the internet shaken. Keeping tabs on how many times we say that this morning. Oh, you know that music. We are back now with the 411 on 007 with Daniel Craig leaving the legendary movie franchise. The search is on for a new Bond. Our own Bond, Chris Connolly, joins us with who could drive the Aston Martin and sip a martini or two. Chris, they told me to keep it together in here before I tossed you on this one. So tell us, is Idris Elba the next guy?
Well, there's a lot of excitement about it, Cecilia, and good morning. You know, when it comes to Idris Elba, it's like people on social media were like, it's been a tough 2 years. Don't we deserve this? It just took a few words, really, from a Bond producer to get all of Speculation Nation up and running.
Sean Connery.
Bond.
Roger Moore.
James Bond.
Timothy Dalton.
Would you get me a medium dry vodka martini?
Pierce Brosnan.
Shaken, not stirred.
And Elba. Idris Elba. Could he at last become the 008th man to play James Bond in the movies?
If we don't do this, there will be nothing left to save.
Charged with anointing a new Bond in the wake of Daniel Craig's No Time to Die swan song, producer Barbara Broccoli with words to the Deadline podcast this past week concerning the 49-year-old Elba.
Well, we know Idris. I mean, we're friends. I'm friends with him, and he's a magnificent actor. And, you know, it's been part of the conversation.
That was enough to get social media both shaken and stirred, because when it comes to Bond fans, the Idris Elba conversation has been underway for some time, even when the star himself has demurred. 2016.
I think I'm too old for that, man. I can't be running around in cars and ladies and martinis. Who wants to do that? That sounds terrible.
Terrible to whom exactly, respond his many partisans. From his breakout role as drug dealer Stringer Bell in The Wire.
I'm not round the way no more. You want to find me? I'm right here.
To his award-winning performance in the haunting Beasts of No Nation.
What are you doing here?
The character of James Bond has transformed and shapeshifted as much as the times have since its 1960s movie debut. And should Elba take on that role, it would have impact far beyond a typical recasting.
It would just be so huge and such a culturally shifting moment. And it also really expands that audience. You do not have to be white to be sexy, sip a martini, and save the world.
For now, the notion of Elba as Bond may reflect more hope than reality. He said this to London's ITV News in October.
I'm not going to be John Bond.
But would you like to?
Who wouldn't?
Bond producers say they're still focused on Daniel Craig's finale.
Until No Time to Die has kind of had its run, we're not going to think about or talk about anybody else.
And Kelly Carter also pointing out that when Daniel Craig was originally cast, some people thought he was too blonde to play Bond. And yet the sun came up in the morning just like it always does, guys. Elba forever.
Like I said, a girl can dream, Chris.
I love the puddle that you have become talking about Idris Elba. We're going to have to change it from 007 to 0010 if Idris gets it. And coming up next, our play of the day. It's a good one. Back now with our play of the day and women's college basketball's greatest individual record smashed over the weekend. Take a look at Kansas State junior center Ayoka Lee making that layup, capping a 61-point game. That's the most points in NCAA Division I women's basketball history. Her teammates and coach congratulating the 6'6" center. After the game, Ayoka said she's thankful for her teammates trusting her. She thought it was just going to be any other Sunday. And keep in mind, though, Oklahoma, they had a total of 61 points. She single-handedly got 61 points on her own. She only had 35 minutes worth of playing time. So imagine just if she had played the whole entire game.
Wow. Great game.
Good for her.
All right. Congratulations, guys. Coming up, everybody, we are celebrating a superstar teacher with a big surprise. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Biden administration has ordered some Americans to evacuate Ukraine. Russian forces are massed on the border. President Biden also considering sending U.S. troops to the region. Let's go back to our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell. Good morning, Ian.
Yeah, good morning, George. A lot happening on this developing crisis. NATO just announcing it's putting extra forces on standby and sending additional ships and fighter jets to Eastern Europe. This as the U.S. Embassy orders some staff and their relatives in Kiev to leave the country.
U.S. officials ordering the evacuation of family members of U.S. Embassy staff in Ukraine. Some non-essential personnel also allowed to leave. The State Department writing, U.S. citizens in Ukraine should consider departing now using commercial or other privately available transportation options. Now the UK following suit, also ordering some embassy staff to leave. This morning, the Ukrainian government criticising the U.S. decision as premature and excessively cautious. The order comes as tensions mount in the region, with some fearing a Russian invasion could come at any time, despite consistent denials by the Kremlin. Now the New York Times reporting that President Biden is weighing sending thousands of US troops, warships and aircraft to Eastern Europe in response to what it sees as Russian aggression. The British government claiming the Kremlin's plotting to put a pro-Russian politician in place as the leader of the country. The US backing the information, calling it deeply concerning. But the Russians say it's disinformation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirming US support for the Ukrainian government, saying the US will not tolerate any incursion into Ukrainian territory.
If a single additional Russian force goes into Ukraine in an aggressive way, as I said, that would trigger a swift, a severe, and a united response from us and from Europe.
The Kremlin's just responded, saying fears of a Russian invasion are, quote, hysteria created entirely by the US and NATO as part of what it calls an information campaign. Despite the ongoing diplomacy, there is no sign that this crisis is doing anything other than escalating today. Cecilia?
An incredibly tense situation there, Ian. Okay, thank you. We're going to turn now to the fight against the Omicron surge. Dr. Fauci saying we are headed in the right direction, but hospitals in so many parts of the country are still overwhelmed. So let's go back to Haley Hartung. They're at one of those hospitals in Los Angeles. Good morning again, Kaylee.
Good morning again, Cecilia. We don't want to get overconfident, Dr. Fauci warns, but he says he is as confident as he can be that most states will hit their peak of Omicron cases by mid-February. So he says it looks like right now we are headed in the right direction. Nationwide, in the past week, cases have dropped by 10%, but there are still rising cases in some states in the South and in the West. And Dr. Fauci cautions that there may be a bit more pain and suffering with hospitalizations in the states that are trailing to get vaccinated and boosted. And a new study from the CDC shows just how effective booster shots are at protecting us from severe illness, saying that an additional shot can slash your risk of visiting an ER like this one by 94% during Delta and 82% during Omicron. Lindsay.
Health officials still urging people to get vaccinated. Kaylee, thank you. And this morning, we are remembering legendary fashion designer Terry Mugler this morning, known for his theatrical designs. He dressed some of the biggest names in fashion and entertainment, including Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Kim Kardashian, and Cardi B. Mugler was 73.
Okay, everybody, coming up, the latest details on Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra, the couple welcoming a new baby via surrogate.
And tax season is here. The important new rules on the secret to getting your refund faster.
And is there COVID super immunity? Dr. Jen Ashton is here with the facts.
And we have a big surprise in store for an amazing teacher who puts her students first. You're going to want to stick around for that. A little look at Times Square this Monday morning. Welcome back. Tomorrow on GMA, one of our favorite guests, Kevin James. He's going to join us live.
He is one of our favorites. Looking forward to having him here. We're going to turn now to our GMA cover story. Big news from the Jonas family. Nick and Priyanka announcing that they welcomed a baby via surrogate. Zorin Shah joins us with the details. Good morning, Zorin.
Hey, good morning, Cecilia. Priyanka Chopra Jonas once made a list of non-negotiable qualities she said she wanted in a partner. Well, she wrote in her book, appreciation for family was one of them. Well, her family with Nick Jonas just got a lot bigger, and there's a big reason why most fans didn't see this coming.
This morning, in a surprise announcement, one of Hollywood's powerhouse couples are now parents. Priyanka Chopra Jonas and Nick Jonas welcoming a baby via a surrogate over the weekend. Priyanka sharing on Instagram that the pair is feeling overjoyed and asked for privacy as they focus on their family.
I think that they're just kind of relishing this time with their baby and taking some private time for themselves as they get adjusted to being new parents.
Over the years, Priyanka has been vocal about her desire to be a mother, telling People magazine back in 2018 that she and Nick definitely want kids, and when the time is right, it will happen. Nick and Priyanka join a growing list of celebrities who have chosen to use a surrogate to have children, like Elton John, Sarah Jessica Parker, Nicole Kidman, and Kim Kardashian, but the option remains out of reach for many Americans due to its high cost.
Gestational surrogacy procedures are becoming more common. It's an IVF procedure. IVF is definitely getting more and more successful. And we are seeing better laws that protect both gestational carriers and parents. Insurance coverage for IVF procedures and gestational surrogacy procedures is getting better, although it still can be expensive.
The Jonas clan, now bigger than ever.
Nick, Kevin, and Joe are all dads, so this baby's gonna have a lot of love growing up and a lot of older cousins to look up to.
And speaking of a big family, many fans remember Priyanka once saying that she wants enough kids for a cricket team. You guys, that is 11 kids. Well, she recently told the Sunday Times she's not sure about that many anymore, but she says she wants to have as many kids as she can have. Cecilia.
Good for them.
All right, George, over to you.
Thanks, Irene. So speaking of tax season, the IRS starts accepting tax returns today. And from the child tax credit to a new deadline, there's a lot we need to know about filing in 2022. So let's bring in our expert, Chief Business Correspondent Rebecca Jarvis. Good morning, Rebecca. Let's start out with what's different this year.
Well, you mentioned two of the biggest things, George. It's those pandemic-related benefits, the child tax credit, which should be higher for many people, but also something that many people began receiving in July through December of last year, and they can claim the additional part of that credit on these taxes. Also, those stimulus payments, the last check for $1,400 went out, but not everybody has received it. So make sure when you're filing those taxes, George, that if you are entitled to those credits, that you make sure you fill out the eligibility forms on your taxes to be sure that you actually collect that money because it's rightfully yours, George.
Yeah, but the IRS has been warning about slow processing for refunds. So how can we get our refunds more quickly and how do we maximize them?
Yeah, and this is going to be something that everybody is going to be dealing with over this tax season. The best thing you can do is file electronically. That is the fastest way to get your information to the IRS and the fastest way to get your refund check. As for that refund check, make sure that you have direct deposit set up. That will keep any delays from sending physical checks or even issues with sending physical checks to the wrong address from impacting you. Also, look out for letters in the mail as far as those stimulus payments and the child credits go, and use IRS.gov. George, if you're trying to speak to people directly at the IRS, it's going to take you much longer time than going through the site at IRS.gov and trying to have your questions answered there, George.
No pandemic extensions this year?
Well, we got them the last 2 years. This year, it is looking much less likely. The deadline, according to the IRS, is going to be April 18th for most people. You can file for that extension, as is the case every year. That extension lasts for 6 months. The deadline on that would be October 17th. And remember, when you file the extension for your taxes, it's not to pay your taxes. It's just to do a lot of the heavy lifting and the paperwork. So you got to be ready to pay by that extension. You got to be ready to pay by that deadline in April. But you can file the extensions for October so that, George, you can get all that paperwork together. But now is the best time of the year to start thinking about it because you're getting those letters in the mail. Make sure you put them all in one place, even a shoebox, so you're ready to go. George.
Becca Jarvis, thanks very much. Lindsay.
George, thank you. Turning now to COVID news. In new research looking into whether people can develop super immunity against the virus, our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jen Ashton, joins us now. So good to see you today. All right, let's talk about it. Super immunity, what does it mean?
So this is actually not a medical term. It's being used in the lay public to describe a phenomenon where really the definition is someone who's been vaccinated and boosted and then becomes naturally infected with COVID-19, so those so-called breakthrough infections. Data suggesting done by, on the Delta variant that those antibody levels can be 1,000% more effective than in people who are just vaccinated and boosted. Now, here come the caveats. We do not know how long that protection and that immune level protection will last. We don't know how it will behave with different variants. Again, Omicron, we're still looking at that data, and variants in the future, we don't know. And remember, antibody immunity is just one part of the picture. There's that so-called T cell immunity as well. So there are still other variables there, but it does appear to be a silver lining of sorts.
And so you've talked about your own situation, that you're vaccinated, you're boosted, did get Omicron. Yep. At this point, I guess you can assume that you have the super immunity, but you're not going to change any precautions based on that.
Correct. And listen, psychologically, emotionally, I feel better with that knowledge. But, you know, remember, it's not a one size fits all. There are people with compromised immune systems who may not get this same level of super immunity. We don't know about how long it will last. So mentally, yes, I feel relieved and I'm happy to be back at work. But really, in the long term, it's probably not going to change that much about our day-to-day behaviors.
If you've had Omicron, should you still get boosted? And do we know just yet if you can get Omicron twice or not?
Well, the first part of your question, we have to go by the CDC recommendations right now, Lindsay. So right now, the recommendations are if you get a so-called breakthrough case of COVID-19, you should wait through your entire 10 days of isolation and you should not have symptoms. And then you should, yes, go and get your booster shot. And again, the reminder for people who have had Pfizer or Moderna, that booster recommendation is 5 or more months after that second dose. If you've had J&J, it's 2 or more months after that initial dose. Whether or not you can get a reinfection, we saw very early on in 2020 case reports of that. Remember, coronavirus causes the common cold. It is possible to get more than one common cold in our lifetime. So there's good news, but you have to temper it with some reality.
Thank you so much. helpful,
Lindsay.
As always.
Thank
Jen.
You, my dear.
Now I'll send it over to Janier.
And Lindsay, weather-wise, the winter hits just keep coming. Look at Springfield, Pennsylvania. They got some of that clipper action, 3 to 5 inches, but certainly caused enough for spinouts. And some lake effect areas of western Pennsylvania and just south of Buffalo, up to 17 inches. Speaking of lake effect, look at Portage, Indiana, up to 7 inches there when Chicago got a little hit. They're still below average back in Chicago, but we're going to start to catch up a bit. We've got a couple more systems that'll try to blow through. You can see some of the winter weather advisories, much of that happening this morning. Wind chill yellow alerts all the way south into Waterloo or Mason City for 35 below wind chills. That's when it becomes dangerous, and that's why you get an alert. So it's not just, oh, it's winter, right? That's when you really cannot be exposed. And then there's a look at the snow and the cold, how deep it goes. This is a stop on Wednesday morning, freezing again all the way to the Gulf Coast, at least in the wind chill.
All month long, we are celebrating Class Act educators all across the country, incredible teachers determined to help their students succeed. This morning, Victor Kendo joins us from Miami with one of those superstars. Hey, Victor.
Hey, George. Good morning from North Miami Senior High School. I'm here with Miss Anna OG, some of the members of her dance team, and some students from the Fine Arts Department. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Clearly, the kids are back on campus now, but when they went remote, teachers like Miss OG had to get creative to make sure no student fell behind. She is our class act.
We're the North Miami Senior High School Party at Park!
At North Miami Senior High School, school spirit is everything. Proudly represented by the dance team, the Jade Dancers. And that's because teacher Anna OG pulls double duty.
On the left side, we have mitosis.
Teaching science and coaching the dance squad.
She has this like spark in her.
She goes above and beyond in every single thing that she does.
Miss OG started working at the school in 2010.
You're always coming up with new ideas, either inside the classroom or there with the dance team. Mm-hmm. Where does that inspiration come from?
It just comes from all the teachers that I've had in the past and what they did for me and my classmates. I want to give the students everything that I had and more.
But when schools went into remote learning during the pandemic, the dance team couldn't meet for practice, and fundraising for new uniforms and equipment became incredibly challenging.
Funding may not always be so easy to come by for the arts.
A lot of times we are making our dance costumes. I just feel that when you look good, you feel good. I just wanted them to feel more confident.
Her students say Miss OG is always there for them, even during the toughest times.
Having her there, like as a support in the background, every time we need help with something, without her, I don't think I would have made it this far.
And we're back now with Miss OG. Like so many other teachers across the country, at times you've had to go into your own pockets to make sure your students had everything that they needed. Where does the motivation come from for you to continue teaching?
Well, for me, it really comes from all the teachers and educators that I have had in my life. They've helped me out in the past, so I want to be able to do the same thing for all the students here.
So it comes from those who set the example for you as well.
Definitely.
Got it. So with Black History Month just a few days away, we talked about this earlier, but you've got something special planned for the dance team, right? Tell us about it.
Yes, I am planning a Black History through dance show, and it's going to include our fine arts department as well as our career and technical education students. So we'll be talking about heart health and doing exercises and also showcasing their dances, and we'll learn about heart healthy ways to switch up our ingredients. So we'll be talking about soul food and how to eat healthier, basically.
That's going to be interesting, right? Soul food, yes. And eating healthy, that yes. Got to be a little bit of a challenge. Well, we want to make sure that you have everything that you need. Make sure you guys look good out there. So, wow. The team from Custom Inc., they are, take a look, guys. It's a good amount of money there, $3,000. They want to make sure that you guys look good out there, so hopefully this will help. So we've got that for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
With that, what can you do to make sure that your team has everything they need?
Definitely we can have, you know, practice shirts, nice practice shirts, warm-ups for when it's cool. And yeah, we can do a lot with this. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. We also have one more surprise for you,
wow.
If that's
bring
okay.
It,
let's take
it.
A look, because I think we've got some members of the dance team.
Oh.
Yeah, here they come. This is from Donors Choose, Miss OG, $10,000. I asked you earlier what you would do if you had unlimited funds. Now you've got $13,000 here. What does this mean for all you guys?
It means a lot. It really means a lot. At this school, we are a melting pot of students from so many different cultures, and a lot of their parents, you know, they work two jobs or long hours to be able to allow them to do extracurricular activities. So I totally understand it. I'm Haitian myself, and so I know what it's like when your parent is really working hard to make sure you have everything you need for your extracurricular activities.
I love it. Congratulations. Thank you guys so much for being here, and thank you for spending the time with us, Ms.
Thank
OG.
You.
I'll send it back to you guys.
Miss Evie, congratulations from all of us here up in New York as well. You are doing such amazing work. It is so great to see. It's great to see your smile. Can't wait to see what you do next. Thanks very much. And thank you, Victor, for sharing this story. Thanks to Donor Shoes for making a big impact in the lives of America's teachers and students. Coming up, the Thriver who's showing the world just how strong she really is inside and out.
Welcome back, and we are celebrating the power of friendship this morning. Take a look right there. You can see some of the folks who shared their friendship photos with us right here and right now. We are about to meet two women who inspired more than a million others to level up their friendships with a practical guide for getting through these challenging times together. But first, take a look at their story.
You helped this panda become a lion. I'm so proud of you.
Like in the hit show Ted Lasso, there's power in the connection of friendship. But for many, the pressures of daily life have impacted our social life. One recent survey finding nearly half of Americans report having lost touch with a few friends over the past year.
I struggled with loneliness so bad. I struggled with being left out.
Blogger Amy Weatherly embarking on a mission to create her own sisterhood, reaching out over social media to fellow blogger Jess Johnston on a whim.
We just ended up talking about a lot about friendship and realized that that was a common thing that was really important to us. Then one day, Amy was like, do you want to start a page together about friendship and call it Sister I'm With You? And I was like, I am all in.
That page, now a thriving community, helping more than 1 million followers get real about friendship.
A good friend is someone you can be your whole self with. You don't have to hold back anything.
For me, good friends are like the people who will support you no matter what's going on in your life or their life.
Now, Jess and Amy sharing their lessons learned in the new book, I'll Be There, But I'll Be Wearing Sweatpants, to inspire others to embrace authentic friendship.
We just really wanted to write the roadmap that we never had.
And I hope this whole book is just a big, big bunch of encouragement.
All right, Jess Johnston and Amy Weatherly, the authors of I'll Be There, But I'll Be Wearing Sweatpants. Yeah. They're joining us right now. Ladies, good morning. Are you wearing your sweatpants?
I wear.
No, but I do have on stretchy jeans.
Oh, good.
That counts.
Gosh, you guys have really created such an incredible community, especially in these times where, for so many of us, it's been so hard to see our friends in person. Jess, what's it been like for you to see this community grow and really take off?
It is absolutely an honor, and I think it just confirms what we already knew in our hearts, and that was that we really crave and need authentic sisterhood, the kind that doesn't require tight jeans and buttons, but the kind that is for your most comfy sweatpants.
You got us all nodding in here. We are totally with you on that one. Okay, Amy, give us some of your best tips. What are the first steps in starting to build some of these relationships?
Okay, as counterintuitive as it sounds, honestly, I think the first step towards friendship is working on yourself. Knowing who you are, knowing your strengths, be willing to work on your flaws. I think it's just, we spend a lot of our lives putting ourselves down. And if we can gain that confidence to flip the script and instead use that energy to encourage others and lift others up, our friendships really are going to change.
Yeah, they really do. Just you guys really surprised me when I read this, that you, in the book you say that in order to create a close friendship, it takes 200 hours of time to get there. That's astounding to me. So what does it take to try to maintain these relationships?
Isn't that crazy that it takes that many hours? I think we expect everything right now to get to us with two-day shipping. So it's really overwhelming that it takes that many hours to get comfortable with someone. And we're really thrown off when it feels awkward at first or it feels uncomfortable. But honestly, it takes that much time, that many coffee hangouts, that many times running errands together or whatever you're doing to get to that place of comfortability in your friendships.
And we're all so busy with just life and day-to-day, but these relationships are so important. So for each of you, what's your most important tip on how we keep, what we need to keep in mind in maintaining these relationships?
So one of the things you're really going to want to keep in mind is that you're not going to find somebody who agrees with you on everything, who checks every single box. There's a lot of grace that's going to go into this, both for yourself and for the other person. But it's really about finding people who are like-hearted, maybe as opposed to like-minded on every issue. We really think that what we're craving is popularity. We think we need a lot of friends. We think we need to go to a lot of parties. What we crave is intimacy. It's not about having all these likes or having all these follows or these comments. It's about being truly known, and that's only going to happen with a few people. So it's quality over quantity every time.
Yeah, exactly. So and it's being intentional with the friendships that we have.
Intentional, yeah. And quality over quantity. Ladies, thank you so much. And I could tell you created a great friendship there between you two. So we really, really yes. appreciate being with us here this morning.
We love each other.
I can tell.
Love each other. Thank you.
I'll be there, but I'll Be Wearing Sweatpants is out tomorrow. And you can read an excerpt on goodmorningamerica.com. Coming up, we're going to kick off our new series, Food Evolution, with some smart swaps for your favorite snacks. Stay with us.
Back now on GMA with high-profile defense attorney David Rudolph's new book, American Injustice, Inside Stories from the Underbelly of the Criminal Justice System, which takes a deep dive into the wrongful accusations. Will Reeve is back with a look at that. Good morning again to you, Will.
Hey there, Lindsay. David Rudolph says an inherent problem with the American criminal justice system is there are many, many people who are in prison for things they did not do. And he's dedicated his life to fighting for those people and calls on others to join in that fight in his new book.
Michael Peterson was convicted in 2003, and he's sent to prison for life without parole. And it was by far the darkest moment in my career.
David Rudolph rose to fame as a criminal defense attorney while representing Michael Peterson in a high-profile murder mystery two decades ago.
That's left mysterious. Well, we don't convict people based on mysterious here.
Chronicled in the popular Netflix true crime documentary, The Staircase. In 2003, Peterson was convicted of the murder of his wife, Kathleen. Years later, he was granted a retrial after evidence emerged that a key witness for the prosecution gave misleading testimony that eventually led to Peterson's release.
He is free to go.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Rudolph's experience in the Peterson trial convinced him of the flaws in the U.S. criminal justice system.
I saw how these abuses really affected people, and particularly in the last 15 years or so, I've really focused on wrongful conviction cases, and those really open your eyes to the kind of abuses that cause real damage to individuals.
Rudolph says in the past 30 years alone, more than 2,800 people, with combined sentences totaling more than 25,000 years, have been exonerated of the crimes that put them behind bars. Now Rudolph has written a book, American Injustice, that explores his work to overturn wrongful convictions and illuminates what he finds broken and how to try to fix it.
We're going to do a little word association here. Criminal justice system.
Injustice.
Why?
There's just too many examples of the system going off the rails. Our system is too focused on finality. And that's really a problem. Finality should give way to truth. And truth should trump anything in the criminal justice system. And it doesn't.
Rudolph breaks American Injustice into four sections. He says it's crucial to understand the complexities of each of them because it is such a complex system that impacts the lives of so many people. Lindsay?
So many still wrongfully convicted. Will, thank you. American Injustice is out tomorrow. Now time for Motivational Monday and a story of strength and survival with one Chicago bodybuilder and thriver who's showing the world just how strong she is inside and out. We'll talk to her live in just a moment, but first, here's her story.
Erica Langley was in the best shape of her life, pursuing her dreams to participate in her first bodybuilding competition back in 2018, when her life changed in an instant.
Everything had just slowed down, like after they confirmed it was breast cancer.
I was scared, and that's when I really depended on the support of my family and close friends because emotionally I was a wreck.
With her family and team of doctors by her side, Erica underwent the fight of her life.
even when she was faced with a lot of challenges ahead of her, she maintained the most positive outlook.
After 20 weeks of chemotherapy and targeted therapy, Erica did not have any evidence of cancer in her breast or her lymph nodes.
Erica returned to the gym ready to finish what she started.
I can accept giving something my all and not quite accomplishing what I set out to do, but I can't accept not trying.
She comes in, she works hard. Every time, even when she's tired, I've got her from just doing 10-pound squats to doing 275 pounds on squats.
And in May, Erica proved to herself and to the world cancer would never knock her down, stepping onto that stage and taking home multiple medals.
To be able to stand up on that stage and be in the running for on a first competition for overall winner, I could not have been more proud of her.
Erica, congratulations. Thank you for joining us right now. It's great to see that smile again. Give us your secret to that positive outlook.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to speak with you this morning. For me, staying positive, I had to rely heavily on my faith and my family. Without those two things, I couldn't have made it through. There were times where I really just wanted to cry and just go into a shell. And my family would say, okay, you have 5 minutes, do what you need to do, you know, cry, scream, whatever. But at the end of that 5 minutes, we're gonna focus on the positive. So that's what really helped to push me through and see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you did make it through, Erica, and you are an inspiration to all of us right now. What is your best advice for others who might be struggling with cancer?
Yeah, my best advice is to, one, you have to have a mindset of, I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to get through this. I think there is a strong correlation between your mental health as well as your physical health. So one, have a positive outlook. The other thing I would say is if you have a support system, depend on them heavily. That's what they're there for. When you're weak, they're gonna be strong. They're gonna hold you up. So don't go through this alone if you don't have to. Let people know what's going on. And pay attention to your body. Anything that's new or different, get it checked out right away. I can honestly say that early detection saved my life.
Early detection is so key, and you are a fighter and a thriver. And we know, Erica, that one of your dreams is to be able to share your story with other people. And we're gonna go beyond you sharing it right here. We're gonna help you do that. I want you to take a look at this. Someone close to you is gonna bring you a little treat. Here we go, look at this.
Oh my goodness.
This is from our friends at Good Housekeeping. Erica, they're gonna give you a full spread in one of their future issues.
Oh my God.
What do you think?
Wow. I'm blown away. I'm speechless right now. I never thought that my story would reach as many people as it is and that it could help others. Wow. I didn't want to cry. when I was going through my ordeal, I didn't understand what the purpose was. You know, why me? I'm healthy. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm taking care of my body. But it wasn't until after I had made it through my struggle and my doctor at the University of Chicago Medicine, Dr. Hahn, asked me to share my story. And I said, okay, well, maybe that was my purpose. But I had no clue that my story would reach so many people. So if it helps anybody out there, I'm just so honored that I can be a tool to help others. So just thank you. I have so many people that I'd have to thank. My parents, Isaac and Alyssa Langley. My fiance's parents, Shirley and Ramine Matthews. Bolo and everybody here at Chi-Town Fitness. My sister, Dorisa. My daughter, Shailene. Like, I just can't stop saying thank you. My pastor, Pastor Andre Anderson. There's so many people that helped push me to this point and continue to do so. By no means do I stand here by myself, so just thank you to everyone.
Well, we want to thank you, Erica, for being such an inspiration and a fighter and a thriver. Everyone, we want to tell you this month's issue of Good Housekeeping is on newsstands right now, and we look forward to Erica's feature when it hit newsstands in the future.
And coming up, smart swaps for your favorite snacks when we come back.
welcome back. We are here with our food series, Food Evolution. Studies show that we've been snacking more during the pandemic. Well, this morning we're going to show you how to solve the craving conundrum. This is me with smart swaps that will make some of your favorite foods even healthier. Nutritionist Dawn Jackson Blattner joins us with how we can do this. Dawn, good morning to you. I'm excited to talk to you because I am a snacker. You've got three simple tips: what, when, and how to snack. Tell me everything.
All right. So first, what should you snack on? Produce and protein is the magic combination. Produce gets you full. Protein keeps you full. Now, when it comes to when to snack, that's 0 to 2 times a day, when and if you're hungry. So you're not hungry, you don't have to snack. But if you need 1 or 2 snacks to keep you energized, do it. And then finally, how to snack. This is where I call table, plate, chair, and this is to eat mindfully from a plate while seated at a table, not mindlessly while you're doing work or watching TV.
1 to 2 snacks. All right, you're scaring me, but I'm still listening. We're going to do some, start with some smart swaps, starting with some sweets. You say you can even make a swap for candy bars. I got the candy bars here. What am I swapping them with?
Okay, candy bars turn into a banana candy bar. Now, a traditional candy bar is going to have upwards of 30 grams of added sugar. My banana candy bar has just 1 gram of sugar, and they're very easy to make, and they're so cute. It's just, you take a banana, put a little peanut butter on there with some peanuts, drizzle some dark chocolate, and you get all the nutrition of that banana, the fiber, the vitamins, the minerals, and you get the protein from that peanut butter and peanuts.
And easy, too. This looks really good. Okay, I'm going to try that one. Next up, you've got a swap for ice cream. I've got the bad ice cream here. What am I swapping it with?
Well, so traditional ice cream turns into nice cream. And so typical ice cream will have 20 grams of added sugar. And my chocolate cherry nice cream has 0 grams of added sugar because it's only frozen cherries with unsweetened cocoa powder blended up. And then what I do is I pop a little cherry on top, put a little bit of nuts like pecans or walnuts on top. And I'm telling you, it is exactly a sundae with no added sugar, just all that fruit nutrition.
Yeah, it actually looks delicious. I'm going to dive into that one soon. Okay, you've got it. We're going to go savory now. I've got some very guilty looking nachos here in back. What do you got in front?
Okay, so traditional beef nachos turn into mini pepper nachos. And so a beef nacho will have lots of chips, lots of beef. I'm using mini peppers, and that adds immune-boosting vitamin C. I'm stuffing them with beans, so you're going to get plant protein with a lot of fiber. And I'll tell you what, this is so easy to make. You just cut the peppers in half, stuff them with beans, a little bit of cheese, pop it in the oven, and then you put your favorite toppings. Like, I love olives or cilantro, a little Greek yogurt, some avocado. And look at these. They're so cute. It's a plate of nachos with extra nutrition.
Yeah, they look really good. Okay, everybody's favorite artichoke dip, but the real one, a lot of mayo, a lot of sour cream, a lot of calories.
Yeah, so a traditional spinach dip is mayonnaise based. The swap, the super swap here is a yogurt spinach dip. And that yogurt is going to add protein. It's going to add probiotics, those good bacteria for your gut. And then you just stir that together with some spinach and a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and you can eat it with your veggies and whole grain crackers.
Thank you so much. Everybody loves these. These look delicious. These are our recipes, and they're on our website, goodmorningamerica.com. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
That was a nice start to the week. Don't forget to watch Lindsay tonight at 7 on ABC News Live.
We will be watching, and just scan the QR code on your screen to find Good Morning America on Apple Podcasts, or search Good Morning America on your favorite podcast app.
Have a great day.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.